Oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we come to the last message of this conference, message 4. Don't you think this weekend went by so fast? I, like Dennis said last night, I'm a little sad that today's the last day of the conference. But at the same time, I'm so happy that we've had this opportunity to be under such marvelous shining. Amen. Aren't you happy? Amen. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that the Lord has opened our eyes at least a little bit for us to see the divine, the heavenly vision?
Amen.
And also for us to know that we have a divine commission according to that heavenly vision.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But brothers and sisters, this morning I also have a little burden, and that is this, that all this that we've seen this weekend would not remain here, right? That all this won't, that it wouldn't end here. It's not what happens in Wesley Acres stays in Wesley Acres, right? No, my burden is, after seeing such a marvelous divine scenery, this heavenly vision, that this would revolutionize us.
Amen.
This would change our life.
Amen.
So that means when we go back to our schools, our campuses, our workplaces, our homes, we wouldn't just go back and pick up where we left off, right?
Right.
No, we would go back a different person.
Amen.
We would go back and our life would be different.
Amen.
You know, no doubt, I have no doubt, and I believe that all of you have seen something, right, this weekend. But when we return, will the veils come back? Will distractions creep back in? And when we lose sight of the heavenly vision, we have to be careful, brothers and sisters. You know, we need to pray. That's why we need to pray. Pray for the Lord's mercy, that he would continue to reveal himself over and over to us again, right? And that he would cause the vision that we've seen to remain fresh. Fresh. Years ago, when I was in sixth grade, I first saw the vision. And I got saved. It was a little vision, but I saw it. And I got saved. But today, years later, I still need to see that vision. I need to see that vision again and again. It needs to be refreshed and enlarged. And you know, there are two ways of seeing the heavenly vision. One is this extraordinary event-like road to Damascus experience that Paul had, right? Mm-hmm. A one-time, cataclysmic, life-changing experience. And I do hope that some of us have had that experience this weekend. But the other is a gradual expanding and enlargement of that vision over time, right? We saw something, and it was marvelous, but it was just a glimpse through a window that needs to be enlarged over time. And so that's why we need to pray. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 3:16, Brother Ken mentions this verse, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Amen.
And I want to emphasize the word whenever.
Right.
It's whenever. It's not a one-time thing. It is whenever.
Amen.
Repeatedly, over and over. When we turn, whenever we turn, the veils are taken away.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, may we be those that turn to the Lord over and over again.
Amen.
And remember in Mark chapter 8, how the Lord healed the blind man? He spat on his hands, he laid his hands on him, and he said, what do you see? And the man said, I see men, for I see them as trees walking, right? And so what did the Lord do? The Lord laid his hands on him again. And then the word said, the man looked intently and was restored, and he began to see all things clearly.
Amen.
You know what this means? This means that sometimes the heavenly vision requires repeated contact with the Lord. The more we contact the Lord, the more our vision is clear. The more we contact the Lord, the more our vision is enlarged and expanded. So we need to turn to the Lord. When we go home every day, we need to turn to the Lord over and over. Spend time with the Lord. Contact Him so that we can say, our vision is clear.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I want to get to the outline now. I'll just cover the first two Roman numerals, and Brother Kim will conclude with the last two. So let's go ahead and read the outline, the title together.
Our commission is according to the heavenly vision that we have seen, and the vision that we have seen creates our commission.
Amen. This weekend, aren't you glad to realize that the vision that we see becomes the commission that we do? Right? To do what? To be witnesses. Last night we saw we need to be ministers and witnesses. To witness what? To witness that which we have seen. Right? You know, Brother Ken was very clear last night. We see, therefore we witness. And what we see, we therefore speak. So we speak what we see. This is our commission.
Amen.
You know, the Lord, God, He needs living witnesses.
Amen.
On our schools, on our campuses, in our dorms, in our workplaces, even at home in the neighborhoods. God needs living witnesses. And He needs us to be His living witnesses. I just want to piggyback on what Brother Ken had used last night, the example of a witness in a court of law. You know, I'm not a lawyer, but I come from a family with three lawyers. So I do know that in a court of law, there are at least three kinds of witnesses. Three kinds. One is an expert witness, right? This is a witness who is knowledgeable about a certain matter and is brought in to give an opinion based on his experience, his knowledge, and his expertise. That's an expert witness. Another kind of witness is a witness by third-party observation, which means that this person witnessed something but was not directly involved, right? So I was standing on the sidewalk, and I saw the two cars collide. I saw the whole thing happen. I know whose fault it was. I was a witness, but I wasn't directly involved. I was a non-party witness. But neither of these kinds of witnesses are what God needs. God needs a witness by first-hand experience, meaning that what we witness, what we testify, happened to us. What we witness, what we testify, is what we experience. This is what happened to Paul. You know, Paul, on the road to Damascus, well, even in, you see in his writings, remember we saw yesterday, he's the only one that used the term, phrase, body of Christ, right? Why? Because he saw it. On the road to Damascus, when he got saved, that's the first thing he saw. He was blind for 3 days, receiving vision and revelation of Christ and the body of Christ.
Amen.
So he saw it. But not only did he see it, he also experienced it. And I want to point out, you know, in Acts chapter 9, 17, he was blind. Saul was blind for 3 days. And then what happened? It says, Ananias. The Lord used this little man, Ananias, member of the body. Ananias went away and entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Saul, brother, the Lord has sent me so that you may receive your sight.
Amen.
And so that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in the next verse, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight.
Amen.
Saul was officially and personally introduced to the body of Christ.
Amen.
Not only did he see the vision, but he experienced a member of the body coming to him. And a member of the body helped his sight to be restored. So Paul had firsthand experience of the body of Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes if you're not clear about something, why don't you just get together with a member of the body of Christ and pray? And maybe after praying with someone, your vision will become more clear. We are members of the body. This is what Paul saw. Paul saw it, and this is what Paul experienced. And thus, therefore, this is what Paul testified. This is also our commission, to testify and speak what we see and experience. What we do for the Lord must be according to what we have seen of the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's read Romans 2 together.
According to the heavenly vision, we need to have upper room consecration.
Amen. Saints, this is not a small thing that we're here this weekend to hear these words. Not a small thing. The divine commission that we all received is a high commission. I want you to know that. It is a high commission. And because it's so high, it requires something special, a special consecration, an upper room consecration. Have you heard that term before, upper room? This comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 13, where the Lord's disciples, it says, and when they entered, they went up to the upper room. So let me tell you, this is what happened. So the Lord, we know he died, he was crucified, and he resurrected as a life-giving spirit, right? And then as the spirit, he breathed himself into his disciples. Then, over the next 40 days, he remained with the disciples to teach them how to practice, to realize, and enjoy his invisible presence. He was with them for 40 days, in and out, you know, but he was training them. And then after the 40 days, He charged them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Okay? And then he gave them the commission. He said, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They received the divine commission. And then what happened? Then in verse 9, in front of the disciples, after he had said these things, while they were looking, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him away from their sight. The Lord had ascended to the heavens in front of his disciples. They witnessed it. And so then what happened? What do? They returned to Jerusalem. And then we see the verse 13. And when they returned, they went up to the upper room. What did they do in the upper room? They prayed. For 10 days in one accord. Incredible. 10 days. Have you ever prayed longer than an hour? Prayer meetings are almost an hour. How about 2 hours? How about an entire day? Have you ever prayed that for an entire day? 10 days of prayer in one accord. And not just prayed, but they prayed in one accord. You know, these were the disciples that not long ago were contending among themselves. Who was the greatest? It was these disciples. And then in Matthew 26, when the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, right before he was crucified, and he was praying to the Father in agony about what was about to happen, what were the disciples doing? They were sleeping. 3 times he found them asleep. But now, in the upper room, what were they doing? They were praying. And they were praying in one accord. Why? Because they knew something tremendous was about to happen. The Lord charged them not to leave Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit was coming. So they knew something big was about to happen that involved the Holy Spirit. And so they prayed. Why prayer? Because, brothers and sisters, only by prayer can one consecrate oneself to the Lord. Consecrate. What does consecrate mean? Consecrate means to present oneself as a sacrifice. You know, in verse 8 where it says, you shall be my witnesses. Actually, if you read the footnotes, it says witnesses is literally martyrs. So here, says, you shall be my martyrs. The disciples were presenting themselves as living sacrifices to God. But they were not the only ones in that room. Let's read verse, let's read point A. How about the brothers read point A? Amen. So along with the Lord's disciples, there were others, all totaling 120 people. You know, in this room, I don't think there's 120, right? Not quite. But 120 praying in one accord, that's a lot. A lot of saints praying. But when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, how many thousands followed him? You know? In Matthew 14, the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000. And in Matthew 15, he fed another 4,000. And in Mark 5, it says that a great crowd followed him and pressed upon him. He was surrounded by crowds, by multitudes. And remember in Matthew 13, when he was giving those parables, he had to sit in a boat because there were so many people on the seashore, he had to speak to them from a boat. Thousands of people followed him. But where were they when the Lord ascended? Where were the crowds? Where were the multitudes? No doubt these crowds believed that they were followers of Jesus, right? But these crowds did not accomplish God's will. The 120 did, because the 120 had a special consecration. They had an upper room consecration, not just a seashore consecration. So let's, how about the sisters, read point B. So, Peter was a fisherman before he became a disciple. Fisherman. And back then, fishing was a big part of the Galilean economy. So he had a pretty good job. He made a really good living. But when the Lord called him, he dropped his net and left it behind, right? He saw something enough to give up his livelihood. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, have you given up something in your life? Maybe some of you have. Maybe you've dropped a dream job. Or you've given up some valuable possession, or even you've given up a relationship because you realized that this relationship was not compatible with following the Lord. So you gave it up. Praise the Lord. The Lord touched you, the Lord called you, and you gave up something to follow the Lord. What a wonderful experience. But no matter how wonderful it is, and no matter how much the Lord honors the stand that you took, which he does, that is still a seashore consecration. What Peter did in the upper room was much more. What he gave up was much more. He gave up his religion, his neighbors, his country, his friends, and even willing to give up his life, which he actually did. Eventually, he died. He was martyred for what he saw and for what he was commissioned to do. So the Lord needs those that go up to the upper room. Amen. And what does this mean? The Lord needs those that give themselves completely, wholly, and absolutely to the Lord. Amen. To consecrate everything to the Lord for his use. Amen. Not just our things or but who we are, our nationality, our culture, our preferences, all the things that make us us, we give that to the Lord. We are not our own. We consecrate ourselves to the Lord to be useful, to be used by him. The Lord needs this kind of consecration. So let me ask you, what kind of consecration do you have? A seashore consecration? Or an upper room consecration. So that's why we need to pray. Again, prayer. We need to pray. The disciples, they prayed steadfastly and in one accord. And so here, one accord, this part is key. Not just pray by yourselves, but pray with those. You're in one accord with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We need to pray with others. You know, some prayers are so big that they need to be uttered corporately. Some prayers are so important that they need the whole body to pray those prayers. So we need to be those who aspire to go to the upper room to pray with those who call on the Lord. May we be those that have this kind of consecration. Okay, let's brothers read point C. Married to the heavenly vision. This kind of consecration is one that's married to this vision. And what does this mean for those of us that are married? And many of you aren't, so listen closely. Marriage means you're willing to give up everything for that person. You love that person so much, you're willing to give up everything, right? Even your life. Even you're willing to die for this person, right? That's what marriage means. And then the Lord Jesus was like this, because in Ephesians 5, Christ so loved the church that he gave himself up for her. Amen. So we need to be those willing to pay the price. Brothers and sisters, pay the price. Amen. And that price is you. Everything about you. You give up to the Lord and offer that to the Lord to be used by him. The Lord needs this kind of consecration. Okay, sisters, point D. Amen. In Philippians 3:13, Paul says, I do not account of myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before. We need to burn the bridges behind so that there's no way of going back. You know, when I was, for the longest time, I had this dream, I had this goal to get the perfect job that would make me a millionaire. You know, don't laugh because I know some of you may have that same dream. So I had this goal, and so what did I do? I started a company. And I joined startups. And as you know, with startups, there's long hours required. There's the slaving away. You have to give yourself to this. So the long hours and the slaving away. But you know, I made progress. We hit milestones after milestones. I got promotions, raises, bonuses. I was on my way to accomplishing my goal, or so I thought, when the Lord touched me one day, you know, after all those hours, what am I doing, you know? And the Lord touched me, and eventually, it took a little while, but eventually, the Lord strengthened me, and I gave it up. I dropped that career path. And I burned that bridge. And you know, after that, the jobs that I took and the jobs that I prayed for, I wouldn't take any jobs unless it was good for the family life and good for the church life, right? These were the prayers that I had. I always prayed, Lord, good for the family life, good for the church life. Those were the only jobs I would take. So I took a job in a university, I was unemployed for a while, and now I'm in the government. And you know, anyone knows that whoever works in the government will never be rich. There's no way of becoming a millionaire. But that's okay. It's good for the family life, good for the church life. This is my new goal. And you know, this last summer, actually, we went to California. One of my peers had the same dream. One of my peers in college had the same dream. And he made it. He founded a company. And he's now worth $1.8 dollars. He's the third richest man in his industry. And so my family, we had dinner with his family. And after dinner, we went out, got frozen yogurt. The kids were playing with each other. My wife talking to his wife. It just seemed so normal, almost attractive. And I remember looking at him, and I checked with myself. Is there any regret for leaving that life? And I was so happy. Such a great feeling to not want that. I did not want that. I did not want what he has to go through to become so successful. It was such a great feeling to not want that anymore. You know why? You know why I didn't want that? That bridge has been burnt. I have a new dream now. But that bridge has been burnt. And you know, I remember a song came into my head when I was looking at him. A very simple song. Some of you know it. No, 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 no. I'll never go back anymore. No, 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 no. I'll never go back anymore. I'll never go back. That bridge has been burnt. My life, my future has been consecrated to the Lord for the building of his body and for the church. No turning back. Right. So may we be those that burn the bridges behind us, stretching forward to the things which are before. Right. Forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before. Okay. Let's read point E together.
120
in Amen. In Luke 12, the Lord says, I have come to cast fire on the earth, and how I wish that were already kindled. The Lord came to cast fire on the earth, and on the day of Pentecost, when the 120 were praying in one accord, the fire came, and the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, the Spirit was outpoured, and tongues of fire came and rested on the 120, and they all began to speak in different tongues. Tongues of fire. The 120 were burning. They were there in that room as a burnt offering to the Lord. They were praying in one accord, and the Lord accepted their offering. You know, in the Old Testament, with the tabernacle, you have everything, but you have the altar. And the fire that was in that altar came from the heavens. It had to. You couldn't light a match and create that fire. That'd be strange fire. So the fire was the fire from the heavens. But before that fire came, everything had to be prepared in the tabernacle. The altar needed to be set up. But not just the altar, but the sacrifice had to be prepared and placed on the altar first before the fire came. So once the burnt offering, the sacrifice was placed on the altar, then God sent the fire. So what that means is our consecration or the fire is absolutely dependent on our consecration. The offering is first placed there, and then the fire comes. Amen. And the fire enables us to serve. So the 120 were praying, and they were praying and presenting themselves as an offering to the Lord. And they became a burnt offering, but they were accepted by the Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord, may we be those that pray. Amen. May we be those that consecrate ourselves and are filled with the absolute Christ. To become a burnt offering to the Lord, acceptable to the Lord. Amen. And may we be burning in spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need to be burning in spirit. Amen. So that we can be the burnt offering acceptable to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, sisters, read point F. Amen. So his move with those in the upper room. After this morning, don't you want to be one of those in the upper room? So we must pray. We must pray. Okay, let's all read point G together. It is a small number who will turn the world and change the age. If we would be in the upper room, we need to pray in a specific way and say, Lord, I am willing to be in the upper room for the recovery of your testimony. Lord, I am willing.
Amen.
I am willing to be in the upper room.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to end here. So how about actually take 15 seconds, pray this prayer. Pray this prayer with your neighbor. Pray it. Pray it into being. Amen.
Amen. When Brother Tim was speaking, I couldn't help but think about this hymn, and some of you probably were thinking the same thing. But it's that this hymn, it's actually 115 in your new song book, and it goes like this. I'll just read a few lines of it. It goes like this, just consider. No mortal tongue can ever describe the freedom of the soul. When passed beyond all earthly bribe to God's complete control. Doesn't that sound good? Amen. And then there's another part. Oh, never speak of sacrifice. Oh, do you want to sacrifice yourself for the Lord, Vanya? Don't speak of sacrifice. No, it's a privilege untold. It's not a sacrifice, really. It's a privilege to be in His control.
Amen.
To put your hands in the one, the most wonderful one in the universe.
Amen.
And there's other one. Arise, the holy bargain strike. Let's all strike a bargain this morning.
Amen.
Oh, there's a holy bargain here. You like bargains? You like to get something for hardly nothing? It's a fragment. All we have is just a fragment. But we give Him our fragment. What do we get? The whole. Praise the Lord. We give Him our fragment and He gives us everything. You know, after all these years, I've been around so long. But you know what? It's a privilege untold to be His at any cost. Listen, it's not like... You know, we have nothing. We're just a fragment, but He's everything to us.
Amen.
He cares for us. Everything is taken care of. He becomes so much to us. Oh, it's a great investment. And my feeling this morning is we need, the first thing is, in this first part of the message is, this needs to be settled in us.
That's right.
This shouldn't be something that just, yeah, maybe someday, you know, I'll be for the Lord. I'm just kind of go along for a while. Listen, there needs to be a time in our life we offer ourselves to the Lord willingly. Like you said, put yourself on the altar. It's okay. Let the fire come and burn. It's okay. It's the greatest privilege you could do is put yourself on God's altar to become His at any price. Oh, don't speak of sacrifice. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. The Lord needs this.
Amen.
The Lord needs this at this time, at this age. He needs this generation.
Yes.
I hope among you, you would take this word to pray.
Amen.
To have a time to begin with one-on-one with you and the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I love you.
Amen.
I love to offer myself to you.
Yes.
In fact, even if you don't mean it, why don't we just say it?
Yes.
Just speak it to the Lord right now. Close your eyes and say, Lord,
Lord,
I offer myself to you.
I give myself to you.
I give myself to you.
I love you.
I love you.
I belong to you.
I belong to you.
Have your way in me.
Have your way in me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, may these words be taken. Go, pray, and make them really your feeling from deep within. Tell the Lord. Forget about everything else and offer yourself to Him. This needs to be settled. Now going on with the time we have left, there's this next section, which has to do with, it comes back to our commission. And, you know, Roman numeral 3 says, today our commission, let's all read it. Today our commission is to cooperate with our Lord, who is active in His ascension, to propagate the resurrected Christ by the Spirit for the producing of the churches, the kingdom of God. We have to realize that what's going on right now is the Lord is in ascension. He's in the heavenlies. He's in His heavenly ministry now. He was in His earthly ministry. Now He's ascended. He's on the throne. And there's some verses here that show that He is very active in the heavens to carry out His goal to get what He wants on the earth. And what He wants is the resurrected Christ, who's now the life-giving Spirit, to be propagated, to be multiplied in many more believers, constituting them members of the body of Christ, and even actually practicing the reality of the body of Christ by meeting as the church in the city they live in, expressing Him. And it's not something, it's not an organizational thing, it's just Christ growing, being multiplied in us, living out of us, and being expressed through us on the earth. And that becomes His kingdom on the earth. That becomes Him living again in reality through us, because we have Him as our King. We've offered ourselves to Him. So He lives and reigns within us. He's not coming to reign over us outwardly. We don't agree with anybody reigning over us outwardly. You want someone to reign over you? No, I want the King to reign.
Amen.
I want the King to reign from within. Amen. We follow Him from within.
Amen.
He wants to multiply this life. This is a big thing. This is our commission to go. Go. We need to go. And what? We need to minister. We need to witness concerning the things we've seen and we've heard.
Amen.
So point A under this, let's just go to that. Everyone read A, please. The book of Acts was actually not ended, but left open. The reason for this must have been that the work of the Holy Spirit, preaching the Christ for the propagation, multiplication, and spread through the believers of Christ, was not yet completed.
And it,
so the last verse in Acts, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, unhindered. That's how it ends. But you know what? It's open-ended, because He's still doing the same thing. What are we doing? We're speaking the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We're proclaiming Him. We're proclaiming the gospel. And this will go on with boldness through us, unhindered, till the Lord comes back. Then let's read B together. This is really where my burden is. And I hope we would pick this up. B, all together.
Our
first responsibility is to go, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that sinners may be saved, baptized, become the members of Christ for the building up of His body. Oh, this is... Okay, I just want to read again. Just pay attention. And just to say amen, okay? Our first responsibility is to go.
Amen.
We see a vision. We see something heavenly, divine. We realize that our vision is one of Christ Himself. Christ with His body. He's for the body. He's building up the body. He needs more of His life moving and growing in all of us so that the body can be built up.
Amen.
When He grows in you, listen, the body gets built up more.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Vanya, if you grow a little bit more, guess what? The body gets built up more.
Amen.
So we want the body to be built up. But for that, we need to go. This is our commission. And our commission is to go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that sinners may be saved. I don't know about you, but do you get excited when you say, oh, we're going to go speak to some sinners? Kevin, you're not getting excited about that. He shook his head. Listen, we need to go to the sinners. Were you a sinner? Did the Lord come to you? Did he save you? Wonderful. He wants more sinners. You know, we shouldn't just kind of drift. We're not here drifting. Lord, give us sinners. We want sinners. There's nothing better. You know, sometimes we spend too much time just with believers. You know, the believers need to grow, and we think that's a little easier, you know. But we want sinners. Who did the Lord, what is the Lord, what is it said of him? He's a friend of what?
Sinners.
Oh, he's a friend of the believers. He's a friend of what?
Sinners.
He loves the sinners. I love this story in Luke 19 where the Lord was there. And it just tells you so much about what's in the Lord's heart. And it's concerning, I'll just read it to you. Just listen. Luke 19. And he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man whose name was called Zacchaeus. You've all heard about Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man. Yeah. But he wasn't little. He was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. So who is this guy? Yeah, he's a swindler. He was extortioner. He was the gangster of that day. He wasn't just any gang. The tax collectors, they extorted money from the people, and they increased their taxes for their own profit. And so they didn't have a choice. These guys had a business going, and they were the mafia of that day. And so these are gangsters. Who was the Lord? What's he going to? He's going to go see a gangster? But listen, he's not just any gangster. Oh, yeah, say that again. He's the chief. Who's the chief gangster? Yeah. What's the chief gangster called? The Godfather. I don't like saying that. He was the boss. He was the one, you know. He's chief and he's very rich. He's rich. And guess what? There's something about him. He had heard about Jesus. And you know, he was seeking. The next verse says, and he was seeking to see Jesus, who he was. Who is this one? That's a good thing. Even gangsters may have a seeking heart. They're seeking some satisfaction. They're seeking some meaning to life. They're seeking reality. They could have everything, but they're miserable within. Listen, this one was seeking him. But he couldn't see him because of the crowd, and he was small in stature. You can say, oh, poor brother. No, poor Zacchaeus, he was short. No, it's okay. He had the standing. He was the boss. But what did he do? He ran on ahead, and he was very smart. He climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. So he got his way to a sycamore tree, climbed up. He got box seats. Okay. And as he came to the place, Jesus looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry. Come down. For today I must stay in your house. Whoa. That's the Lord Jesus. Isn't he awesome? Here's the gangster. Here's the leader of the mafia. And the Lord tells him, come down. Hurry. I need to stay in your house. I mean, there's all the other houses, but I'm going to stay in your house. Isn't that sweet ears to this Zacchaeus? Amen. Wow, this is amazing. And he hurried, and he came down, and he received him, rejoicing. Whoa! This Jesus is going to stay in my house. And when they saw it, they all murmured and said, he has gone in to lodge with a sinful man. Isn't the Lord wonderful? He goes in to lodge with a sinful man. Dear saints, I hope within all of us, the Lord would stir in us as we go with his commission to care for the sinners. The sinners. Open your eyes to the sinners around. Zacchaeus was one of them. And actually, you don't know, it doesn't say what the Lord said when he was with Zacchaeus. You know, do you think the Lord Jesus got in there with Zacchaeus and said, oh, you evil man, you've been swindling people, you've taken this much, you know, do you think that's what the Lord did? No, I kind of think the Lord just enjoyed all the food, he lay back and just began to talk to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, you seem to be doing really well. You seem to, your business is really flourishing. Look at all the things you have. I don't know what he did. I think he was very human, very normal, and had conversation with Zacchaeus, but he was the light of the world. He was full of light. All he had to do is just shine on Zacchaeus. And the end result is, at some point Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, the half of my possessions, Lord, I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore four times as much. I took so much, I'm going to give four times as much back to them. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord just loved that. Salvation has come
Amen.
To the mob boss. It's awesome. He's so happy. He loves the sinners. And then the next verse says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That means he went to Jericho not just to see anybody. He went there to see the boss, the chief tax collector, the rich one, and salvation came to the house.
Amen.
We can bring salvation to the sinners.
Amen.
You look at the ones the Lord went to. He took care of all kinds. Would you choose to go through Samaria to see a woman with five husbands and living with somebody else, and she's at a well? Would you go there? Is that where you would go? Or would you go around that area? Let's don't go through Samaria. I might run across this woman of ill repute. No, the Lord's seeking, like it says here. He's come to seek and save that which was lost. He's not looking for the good people. When you're on the campus, don't look for the good people necessarily. Just find the sinners. I was with this one that got saved, and it was so awesome. We were there, and we were having a time in the Word. We were enjoying the Lord, and we were outdoors, and all of a sudden it's starting to rain. But I'll never forget the sight. He didn't want to leave because he was in God's presence. He was touching the Lord, and he had rings in his mouth, his lips, and he had things in his tongue, you know, a stud or something. And I'll never forget, the rain is coming down, and I'm wanting to get out of the rain, but he wants to just stay there and pray, so I just stayed in the rain. And I can still hear him say, Lord Jesus, I love you. You know, he couldn't say it right, but Lord Jesus, I love you. I just, listen, I love sinners. Oh, Lord, don't you want more sinners?
Amen.
To get saved, have salvation come to their house.
Amen.
I saw this one guy, I was passing out of tracks on the campus, and a young man was coming through. Oh, he's probably not going to want it. He was in a black trench coat, black everything, black this and that, everything all over him. And he looks like this, and just kind of like a frown on his face. And just like, the world is awful. But I didn't do anything other than I said, I just had the feeling, just go ahead and say, good morning. And I just said, good morning. And all of a sudden, everything about his countenance changed. All of a sudden, oh, good morning to you. It's like, I just thought, I'm so stupid. Our concept is so wrong. There's a person behind all that persona. There's a little sheep there that needs a shepherd. We don't look at the outward situation. There, some of those ones you realize, I've heard stories with this sister who worked at a motorcycle shop. And all these Hell's Angels and so forth are there. And she just preached the gospel to them. Some of the most burly, scary ones are they're like teddy bears when it comes to the Lord. They're just soft and cuddly and sweet. And when it comes to the Lord, they need the Lord. They want the Lord. They're open to the Lord. Saints, I say these things just to stir in you a heart. The Lord's heart in us is for the sinners. We need to go to the sinners. We're commissioned to go. And do what? Just witness. Just witness. Minister. We're ministers. We're witnesses. Don't you want some? Wouldn't you like to have one like that? Amen. That you're taking care of? Come on, Justice. You got to go find one, brother. Okay, that's Zacchaeus. Then going on. You know, there was a woman. A woman caught in the act of adultery and brought to the Lord. What did the Lord do? The Lord just, I don't condemn thee. What? She just got caught in the act of adultery, drug out of bed, brought before a crowd of people, and they're asking now what the law says. Stoner, what do you say? And eventually, they're all gone. He said a word, they're gone. And then he asks, where's your accusers? There are none. They're all gone. So the only one who had the right to accuse her was him. He was God in the flesh. He had the right. But what did he say to that sinful woman caught in the act? He says, neither do I condemn you. I don't condemn you. What? What a Christ.
Amen.
Don't you just, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
You're so lovely. You're so kind. You're so forgiving. You're awesome.
Amen.
Lord, give us some of these. Give us some sinners. Lord, I hope in all our campuses we just would, Lord, give me a real sinner. Give me a sinner. You know, the church life is, when the church life started in America, a lot of the ones that came to the church life, they were the sinners. And now some of those are the ones leading the churches. You would never know. Like you told me about Terry Croft. Oh, my word. Some of you know Terry Croft. You know, big old bushy beard, come to the meetings barefooted. I shouldn't be talking about him. But anyway, it's just like, you'll see him next week. That's how they came, you know. There's some verses in Luke 24. It says, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. And I like this little phrase, that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed.
Amen.
So again, I'm going back to what I mentioned before. Dear saints, there's a lot of things, you know, we can present to people as the gospel. A lot of things. You know, you can present all kinds of things. The unsearchable riches of Christ can be presented as the gospel. But we need to keep in mind, so many of them are suffering from sins. Even the word says, the Lord said, the Spirit will convict the world of sin. This is what the Spirit does. It's convicting. Because this is their big need to get forgiven. So that's a kind of that makes for a good salvation when someone senses that they're sinful and that they could be relieved of their sin by the wonderful redemption of Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. In all the things you present, help them. Help them to appreciate the Lord's redemptive work. Okay, point one. Can we all read that? Just a few more points. While God desires all men to be saved, no one can be saved without the preaching of the gospel, which has been entrusted to us as it was to the Lord's disciples and early believers. You're familiar with the verses in Romans 10. And here, I'll just read it and just pay attention. How the Lord, he desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's in 1 Timothy. But then in Romans 10, he says this. How then shall they call upon him into whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe into him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without him one who proclaims him? And how shall they proclaim unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the news of good things.
Amen.
So there's the situation is one where we're going to ones and they can't help it if they're not saved. It's not their fault. They're not saved. They need us.
Amen.
They need us. We're commissioned to go.
Amen.
We're go to witness,
Amen.
To minister,
Amen.
To open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, bring them into forgiveness, bring them into an inheritance. Well, we need to look at our feet. Brothers, look at each other's feet. I'm looking at your feet, brothers. How you doing back here? Yeah. Are they beautiful? Sisters, I'm not going to look at your feet. Are they beautiful? They should be beautiful. You know what beautiful feet are? Beautiful feet are those that are sent.
Amen.
They go. They go.
Amen.
And then what happens? They proclaim. And then once they proclaim, people can hear. They hear something. And once they hear, they can believe. And then once they believe, they can confess. They can get saved. They can repent and believe. So you have a progression here. They can call on Him. But they can't call. Brothers and sisters, they can't call unless our feet are beautiful. Tell your neighbor, you need beautiful feet. Those are feet that go. I want Jonathan to give a little testimony. Hey, you guys, listen to Jonathan. Come up here, Jonathan. In our little group last night, he was sharing something. I just thought, man, I want to just hang around Jonathan, share your experience of
these two brothers,
the gospel, with a couple of those ones.
So a couple months ago, I had I'm on couch surfing. I had a couple of brothers that are now they're brothers, but anyways, these two guys messaged me and they said, "Hey, could we come stay down at your place?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." They're coming down from New Jersey, so I had a couple other brothers come down and spend the night there with me as well. So they came down and they talked and they started opening up. And the one brother started telling me, he said, "Well, we're on a spiritual journey. We've just been going to all these different homes. We're finding all this voodoo stuff and different things." I'm like, "Oh, okay, great, sure." But you know what? They were open. They were seeking. They were searching for something. Even the one was saying, "Lord, if you know God, if you're really out there, I want to know you." And so later on that day, we were able to go down to the lake. And I said, "Would you guys like to read through something?" So we had the basic elements of the Christian life, and you know, we started reading through it. We read through the mystery of the human life, us and me, Justice, and a few other brothers, and these other two. And the time came, you know, we asked them, "Would you guys like to pray?" And the one guy was just so open. He says, "Yes, I want to pray." And they prayed. They received the Lord. One of them, I mean, he'd been clean off heroin for 6 months. The other one struggles with homosexuality. They're sinners. We're all sinners. But they need Jesus. And, you know, they received the Lord. And they were so open. And it was just beautiful to see that. So I started to, they were just saying how this enormous experience is so great. And I said, "You know what, now you got to start seeing the Lord in the little things." When you start to see Him in the little things, and mind you, I went about my day later on that day, and I'm down at this, I had to get a business license. And I'm walking in, I look at this ticket machine, and I need a ticket. So I go to push a button, and I'm like, "Wait, no, that's the wrong place." So I walk away, and I see someone come in front of me and grab a ticket. I'm like, "Okay, it must be the right place." So I walk back up and push this button for the ticket, and now I have this ticket. I'm standing in line, but mind you, this guy's now in front of me. So now this guy's in front of me. He goes to this other tiller, and then I go to this next person. And now all of a sudden, I'm talking to this guy. He says, "Well, what's your business name?" And this is called Lovers of Jesus. He says, "Oh, you're a Christian." I says, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh, where do you meet?" And like, so all of a sudden, now a door's opening up to share with this one as well. He's a believer. He's been seeking. He's been searching for something different, for something new. And it was just so fresh. And even two people beside me, they all of a sudden, the one guy comes up to me and grabs my hand. He says, "I want to shake your hand." I says, "What?" He says, "Oh, no one talks about Jesus like that anymore." I says, "Well, it's the Lord. He's real. He's just as real as me. He's more real than me and you right here." And you know what? Through that, you're able to share a little bit with them, able to give them a track, leave them with a phone number. They can come in contact with you and just really get back to praying with them. But it's the little things. You know what? Even later on that day, I was with these two guys again. We're down at the walk down for a nice little hike. And we're down there. And I'm like, I wanted to read through something with them, right? But the enemy in me is just saying, "You know what? No, you can't, right?" So I'm sitting down there, I'm like, "Lord, open up a way." And all of a sudden, the one guy says, "Oh, I brought my Bible. I was hoping we were going to read through something." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, perfect." So next thing you know, we're reading through a track, Gospel of God. You know, later on that night, we're reading through some chapters in John, and it's just, amen, it's organic, amen, and it's real, and it's just living it out. So, amen. Hallelujah.
Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. I like that. Those are just good examples of our commission.
Amen.
It's a beautiful, enjoyable life going, touching people's lives.
Amen.
In fact, the next point, I want to read this. It says, number two, it says, today we must be filled with the essential spirit inwardly and clothed with the economical spirit outwardly to carry out this commission by constantly doing what?
Contacting,
visiting our relatives, neighbors, friends, and colleagues to share the good news of God's salvation and bear this commission. We need to not be satisfied with just the little realm we live in. The life in us really cares for the ones around us. And they're looking, they're waiting for us to come. It's our feet that have to go to them. We have to take the initiative. We can't just wait for them to come to us. No, we need to go. And I just go on and on, you know, just giving testimonies of how precious it is to visit, to go. Sometimes, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, even to send songs to people. You know, on an iPhone, you have voice memos. Do you all do that? You use your voice memos? You're singing and you record the song. Then later, I need to send it to this one. And you just send it to them. Listen, I've got responses to one. That was awesome. I got goosebumps. It's like, whoa, I made somebody get goosebumps. That was, you know, I needed that. You know, that made my day or things like that. That's just one way of visit people. Visit them with songs. Visit them with verses. Visit them with just a hello. How are you doing? You know, contact them. Visit. And relatives. I hope all of us would pay attention to our relatives. This is our Jerusalem. They're the ones around us. They're close to us. You know, it took a while, but my sister, eventually, she had some realization. You know, she didn't know what I was in. She lives in Bangkok. She's married to a Thai, and she would come visit every now and then. She just thought I was in something strange. She didn't know what it was and didn't care. But she grew up in the same place I grew up, and she heard a lot of the things that I heard. She heard about, you know, the priesthood of the believer, the functioning of all the members and so forth, and the body, but she never saw it until she was in our home meeting. And in our home meeting, there are all these students, and guess what? They're calling different songs, and we're singing and enjoying the Lord. And some share a little bit here, share something there. And then she turned to me, and she said, no, it was after the meeting. She said, I had no idea this is what you're in. She said, it's just the body. That's what she said. This is just the body. This is what you're in. It's the real thing. And I was like, amen. She's beginning to see. She got it. Just coming into a home, seeing someone's enjoying the Lord, everybody functioning. The body.
Amen.
Eventually, she wanted me to talk to her son. She has two sons. Well, one of the sons, he came, and I took him to a gathering. He got saved and filled up with the Lord. He was overflowing, bubbling. We went off to the beach or something. All he wanted to do is sing after that time. He just wanted to sing. And then the other son, she said, okay, I went to visit her in Bangkok. And she said, to her son, now you listen to Uncle Ken. You listen to Uncle Ken and do whatever he says. Anyway, he got saved, and now both of their sons are believers. Anyway, that was pretty awesome. Relatives, dear saints, relatives. I want to say an encouraging word to those that maybe have a problem. Maybe their parents are not so open. But, you know, My mom and dad, they grew up in the Brethren Assemblies, and my dad was a missionary. My mom and dad were missionaries, and eventually they were ministers. He was a minister. But he wasn't impressed the first time he came to a meeting, when I first brought him to a meeting. But as time went on, he saw me with my wife have a kid, another kid, another kid, another kid, and another kid. And he saw our life, and he would come every now and then to, when he was in town, he'd come to the meeting. And even he got to where he would prophesy. He'd speak in the prophesying meeting. And then, and of course, he had resisted me coming to the church life early on. But then later, at the end of his life, before he went to be with the Lord, he came to me one time and he shook my hand and said, I just want to tell you, you know, you did the right thing in taking the way of the church. You did the right thing. I just want to let you know, I really agree. This is what you needed to do. But that was after a long time, many years. But he saw the reality of Christ in our life, in the children, in the meetings. He couldn't resist it. He had to say, this is the right thing. I did the right thing. Okay, then need to finish up. See, all together, let's read this.
Our commission also includes nourishing those who have been saved by us
in order that they may grow in life, perfecting the saints so that they may function in their measure.
Build up the body of Christ and prophesying to speak for God, speak for Christ, so that the saints be edified and the churches can be built.
Amen. This is a precious verse. Our commission includes what? It includes what? Nourishing. It includes perfecting. It includes the functioning of the members. It includes prophesying. And so our commission is to really care for the believers as well. Care for what? The building up of the church. Now then, there's some verses here in John 21. You're all familiar with him, but I just want to impress you again. At the end of John, at the end of his ministry, before the Lord left, he had this time with Peter. And you remember the story. They brought in all this fish. And then the Lord is with him on the shore. The Lord had already prepared fish for him. He didn't need to go fishing. And the Lord had a little word with him. And he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? I don't know if he was talking about the fish or what, but do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yeah, you know I love you. And the Lord responded, well, do you love me? Then guess what? You need to feed my lambs. Let's all say that. Feed my lambs. And the Lord asked him again, Peter, do you still love me? I mean, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He's bothered a little bit. And the Lord said, shepherd my sheep. Let's all say that. Shepherd my sheep. Then the Lord wasn't through. Peter denied him three times. The Lord's going to do it. I'm going to do it three times. You deny me three times. I'm going to say it three times. Do you love me? And Peter said, yes, you know I love you. And then the Lord said, feed my sheep. So what did he say? Feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. In other words, do you love me? Then here's one thing I want. What are you doing in all the churches? You need to be doing one thing. You need to be feeding the lambs.
Amen.
You need to be shepherding the sheep.
Amen.
You need to be feeding the sheep.
Amen.
This is what you need to do in the meetings. This is what you do in your life.
Amen.
Wherever you go, what are you doing? You're feeding.
Amen.
In order to feed, you have to have some food.
Amen.
What's our food?
Christ.
Amen. He's our real food.
Amen.
We have Christ as life.
Amen.
What do we want to do? We want to give people life.
Amen.
Listen, that's to feed people.
Amen.
That's to shepherd people.
Amen.
You want to shepherd people? Give them food.
Amen.
Oh, this is too wonderful. You know, I was with some Harvard students. They came over and we're getting ready to eat. And I told them, I said, all of you, before we go eat, I want you to know, you know, the food in there in the kitchen is a picture of Christ. I said, you know, Christ is actually very, he's very nourishing, and he's also very delicious. He's enjoyable. You know, it's enjoyable to eat, but you don't just eat, do you? You enjoy eating. It's an enjoyment. And these guys were unbelievers. And I'm talking to them. I said, yeah. They said, well, that's very strange. I said, well, the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. These two, whoa, they'd never heard that, you know. And then one of them said, did he also say we could eat him? I said, yes. And they both said, no way. And eventually, one of them got saved. He prayed the next night. He got saved. And then later on, the one of them, they're in the cafeteria where they eat in the houses in Harvard. and they're texting the other guys that were there, and they're texting, Jesus is delicious, while they're eating. Isn't that sweet? Listen, Jesus is delicious.
Amen.
He's food. Amen. He became food to those guys. They got saved. What can you say? So what do we need to do? Give food. But especially the believers, we need to give food. And this ties in with what's going to happen in the next session. What do you want to do when you stand up and speak for the Lord? What do you really want to do? Come on, give us some food. Give us something of life. You know, there's some verses I want to read to you, and you need to know where this is. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let me get to it. Keep missing it. Okay. And it goes like this. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. He says, it's verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5. He says, this is the end of the verse. He says, our sufficiency is from God.
Amen.
Who also has made us sufficient. God has made us sufficient. Let's all say that. God has made us sufficient as ministers.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, minister.
Minister.
Yeah, I was on a plane once, and the guy next to me, he was going on and on. He owned Ringling Brothers Circus or something, but he was miserable. And then he had ordered some drinks and stuff, and I'm sitting next to him. I didn't order any of the drinks like him at all. And so eventually he's talking. I'm just listening. And eventually he says, well, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a minister. He said, oh, I thought you might be something like that. I didn't even say anything. But then I said, but not any kind of minister. I minister Christ as life to people. What? Then I just started sharing the Lord with him. You know what I mean? And afterwards he said, man, when you were sharing, you were like a young person. I don't know what that meant. But I was just excited, full of life, you know. But let me finish this. Okay, he made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, ministers not of the letter. Are we ministers of the letter?
No.
Don't be a minister of the letter. Just black and white. What did my dad do? He ministered black and white when he was saying, man shall not, it's a shame for man to have long hair. That's the letter, black and white. What did it do?
Kills.
Yeah, that's what the rest of the verse says. It says, the letter kills. Let's all say that. The letter kills. Again, the letter kills. But, let's all say it. But.
But
the Spirit.
Gives
life.
Gives life.
What do we all need, saints?
Life.
When you minister Christ in the meetings, what do you want to do? You want to give them letter?
No.
Your own revelation, your own ideas? What do you want? I want to give them life. Give them the Spirit. Give them life. It may be the black and white letter, but listen, you don't give it to them like anybody else. When you say the bread of life, I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life. You say it a little different. It's not, I'm the bread of life. You know, he's the bread of life. Da, 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 da. No, he's the bread of life. You got to give them life. Give them you don't have to say it like me. You know, just make sure you're giving them your heart. This is what I'm getting to. Our heart is as once commissioned by the Lord to carry out the heavenly vision. We need to be the ministers that give life.
Amen.
We minister the Spirit to people.
Amen.
The Spirit gives life.
Amen.
The letter kills.
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
What is your name? I forgot.
Kevin.
Kevin, yeah. Kevin, what do you want to do? What kind of minister are you? As? No, that's not good enough. Yeah. Minister Christ as what? Life. Yeah, you have to even almost use your hand. Life. In other words, you want to dispense. You want to dispense life. In all the meetings, dear saints, may this be your heart, your desire. I want to give them what they want. I want to give them what they need. What they all need is more Jesus. They need more God. They need more life. They need more of the Spirit. This is what we want to give one another. So don't be settled with just a, you know, da 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 da. That may be okay as a testimony, but really, we're ministers of the Spirit,
amen,
not of the letter.
Amen.
Minister the Spirit. The Spirit gives what?
Life.
Life, exactly. Okay, I think that's good. There's one more point I think on here. Yeah, basically in D, it goes back to Acts 29. It's still continuing even today. Let's all read the last Roman numeral, 4.
We desire
to remain in this commission until Christ comes back.
And we
earnestly expect
to see the consummation of the building up of the body of Christ, which will usher in the Lord's
triumphant return. What a privilege to labor with God in this great universal enterprise. Yes, till the Lord comes back. You know, there was a time when I was with the Lord and I didn't feel like I was being appreciated because I was busy taking care of people, and there was an assignment for to be over a particular service, and I was just young, and I thought, what? They didn't recognize, listen, I'm taking care of people here. You know, I'm feeding lambs, you know, this and that. And the Lord smote me about my ambition, my desire. And the Lord showed me this verse in Matthew 24:45. And I really love this. And this is where the Lord talks about at the end of time, he gives a parable about how he set some over his household as a master over his household. He set some to what? To give food at the proper time. To give food. Give food. Look, you need to look at that in Matthew 24:45. And then he says this. Blessed is that man. When the Lord comes, he will find him so doing. When the Lord comes back, you'll be blessed if you're doing what? Giving food to his household. Giving food at the proper time, at the appointed times. So that really touched me. I had to repent and I had to tell the Lord, Lord, until you come back, I want you to find me doing one thing. Giving food.
Amen.
Giving food.
Amen.
Don't you want to be a person who gives food? When the Lord comes back, what do you want him to see? He says, where is the faithful steward? Where is the faithful servant? Who's what? Giving food.
Amen.
May all our days be ones of feeding the lambs, shepherding the sheep,
Amen.
feeding the sheep,
Amen.
Giving food at the proper time, ministering life, ministering the Spirit to one another for the building up. Okay, our time is up. It's time for a break. And so you want to go ahead and have some ones go ahead and confirm? Yeah, just have them and then we can. And then I hope all you would do in your break, you wouldn't just break. I hope you'd be preparing for something to speak that gives life
Amen.
To one another. It doesn't have to be long. Just something that in which you just give life to one another.
Amen.
Just do your best. Practice. I'm still practicing after all the years. I'm practicing what? Doing what? Giving food.
Amen.
Giving life.
Amen.
Giving the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just really, really touched by all the messages this
Amen.
Weekend. And don't even really know where to begin, but I just wanted to share a little bit of my own testimony.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard the gospel many times throughout my entire life, but I didn't get saved until I was 55. And, you know, I can't tell you how much burden that was, carrying 55 years of that and being saved and having that lift off me. It's just so marvelous. And, you know, it's so wonderful that you're hearing this word now, that you're at this point in your lives where you can go out and speak this to others. You know, you'd never know what your speaking will do and what burden it will take off of someone. This is just so marvelous that, you know, we have been saved, we have this opportunity and that we can carry out this commission.
Amen.
You know, I just cannot impress enough upon you. And even on my own, you know, I just realized that I have received this wonderful gift. I have this treasure, but I've kept it hidden. Even in this short 5 years that I've been saved, you know, I'm just refreshed and I'm renewed, and I just have to go out now. I just have to share this with so many others, you know, that what a wonderful, wonderful gift we've received.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, praise the Lord. I'm not sure what was the intent of having the two ones with white hair share at the end. But I think I echo what our dear brother Cliff here was sharing. Indeed, you know, when I look upon all of you with all your young faces, I remember back in the day when I was young and looking for direction, right? And looking, always looking. But, you know, when we're looking not in Christ, we just see what the world tells us, right? So praise the Lord that we had this very brief time, it was only a day and a half, where we were able to see this heavenly vision.
Amen.
Right? I think Brother Tim this morning mentioned, I hope some of us saw a lot of it. Some of us at least got a glimpse of it. Right? Just a glimpse. Even a glimpse is enough for you to at least have a realization.
Amen.
That you would maybe see a little or have a desire to want to see a little. Right? Those of you who saw something more, you know, you need to ask yourself, is it going to stop you? Is it going to change you? Is it, more importantly, going to turn you? Right? So this is the key, right? We need to have a vision. Otherwise, where are we in life, right? You're in school because you had a vision. You wanted to be something, so you went to school. You're studying accounting because you want to be an accountant, right? That's the vision you had. But here, we're talking about Christ. We're talking about life, right?
Amen.
So you need to see the heavenly vision,
amen,
right? Because this is what will control, direct, and govern your life.
Amen.
But I share with some of the brothers in the cabin I'm in, you know, for me, in my Christian life, what has really helped with the vision is the aspect of preserving me. I'm considerably older than most of you. So in my life, I've gone through ups and downs. And mostly a lot of downs than ups. That's how life usually works. But what has preserved me in my love of the Lord, in my Christian life, is the fact that I have this heavenly vision.
Amen.
Right? When we are with other people, when we are serving, when we're speaking to new ones, you know, sometimes we're easy to get distracted, offended, upset. But what has kept me from going away or losing my love with the Lord is because I had this vision one time where I saw the Lord, right? The Lord fed me and the Lord kept me. So this aspect of preservation as part of the vision is also equally important as the one that's going to direct you, to lead you, to guide you, right? But once we have the vision, then what, right? When I first became a believer, I said, Lord, it's wonderful. Okay, now, Lord, what exactly am I supposed to do, right? So here you have then the commission, right? Our brother Ken shared, the commission is to go,
amen,
right? The Lord said, go, disciple all the nations.
Amen.
Does that mean just you and your friends? No, all the nations imply everywhere, wherever you are, whoever you're with,
amen,
right? Our brother John Postman shared, he was just getting a ticket or a license for his business. And someone just opened up to him and he had an opportunity, right? And once you gain them, what do? We need to feed them. We need to shepherd them, right? They're lambs. Why are they lambs? Because they're new. And then they become sheep, right? Then you need to feed the sheep, right? You know, so it never stops in one hand. But then that's what the Lord wants. Until he comes back, our commission is to keep going, to speak, continue to nourish, to feed.
Amen.
Right? Amen. So may we continue with this line where we have a desire, right? I think Brother Tim mentioned, you know,
We need to be those to continue to pray. Pray to continue for the Lord to reveal Himself to us.
Amen.
If it's not clear, that's okay. Just come together with other ones, other believers, and pray. And the Lord will reveal more and more to you.
Right?
And through this revelation, that is where you get your vision and your commission.
Amen.
Right? First, we need to see.
That's right.
Then we need to do.
Amen.
Amen.